Canadians hired Duncan.
Calm down, Matt. What? Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. What happened?
The Canadians. The Red Hoser losers.
What did the bad team do, Matt?
The losers. The losers in Toronto. We hit them with a taser.
Matt?
They took him. They took him to their shit club and they made him wear red.
Someone made him wear red?
No. No, wait. No. Let me say something. Let me say. Ah!
What?
Ah!
Matt, I didn't understand the word you said. Matt, where are you?
I'm in a massive cage of emotion.
Look, get to Hendox now, or we're going to have to put Steve Abreu on. We're going to have to put Steve Abreu on!
By the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
I'd like to point out just how difficult it was for me to find a payphone to record that.
Yeah, do you have to go find like a UDF or a 7-Eleven?
You know, honestly, it was funny because I'm gonna tell this real quick story. Is when I was in England, end of March, beginning of April. I went to England. That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is that I was talking to our good buddy from MLS UK, Danny Bidmead, while I was over there. And you've got the iconic British telephone booths, right?
Right.
They're still all over the place over there. And I asked him flat out because I was in there and I'm like, these are basically just homeless people toilets now, aren't they? And he's like, yeah. He's like, that's really all they're used for. No one wants to touch the phones in them. Half of them aren't operational, but they're there because it's apparently some sort of touristy thing.
Then they probably have a lot of them in Cleveland as well.
Yeah. That makes sense. There's just all of Cleveland is a homeless person toilet, quite honestly. I'm just saying. Welcome in. It is the Massive Report. I got here early enough, apparently, so we don't have to Skype with Steve Abreu for the entire show. So you're welcome. You're welcome, Crew Soccer Nation.
Steve Abreu killed a man with a trident.
He did.
He should really find a safe house or something. How did he switch from Victoria Corningstone to brick?
I don't know.
But he did. It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. It's fine. It's totally fine. Everything's cool. Everything's fine.
Veronica Corningstone, sorry.
Yeah, Veronica. I think I said Victoria before the show started. I don't know. Whatever. Sally Corningstone. It doesn't matter. The chick from Married with Children. That's really
what?
What? That's who it is.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Lots of stuff to talk about that doesn't involve Anchorman references on tonight's podcast. Obviously, it's dear God, I hope we beat Toronto week. That's going to be coming up a little bit later. honestly, the first Toronto game in a long time that I'm legitimately concerned about.
I love how the crew started there. You know, it's beat Toronto week on Twitter, and instantly the Montreal Impact picked it up and also are now having
great.
Beat Toronto week.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
They're not even playing Toronto this week.
No,
they're like,
not.
Yeah, we're in.
Yeah, they're
in.
They're I actually kind of like the Montreal Impact social media group.
Edgy.
Yeah, it's edgy.
They're the lovable Canadians because they're only half Canadian.
They really are. They really are. And they invented poutine, and poutine is friggin' delicious. I'm sorry. It's French fries with gravy and then cheese on top of it.
We're such fat kids.
Have you seen me?
I know, right? No, I'm saying we.
I'm totally a fat kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Justin's a fat kid. He just doesn't know it yet. I've seen what he eats. I don't know. He must work out. Do you work out like 40 hours a week? Is that your full-time job?
No, I don't. This is just this physique.
Do you do a lot of heroin?
I'm not going to answer that question.
It's the only other explanation riding I can figure out. So, a lot of other stuff. Obviously, we're going to get to the Colorado match, and I guess we have to talk about that here for a second. But
wait, well, I could talk about the Colorado match in 1 minute or less.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Crew game.
Yes.
Against Colorado.
That happened.
The Crew lost.
They did.
End of discussion.
No, we're going to talk about it a little more in depth coming up here because Larry's here, and he's done like a lot of statistical breakdown on this.
I can see the trigonometry.
He has. There's just a crap load of trigonometry involved. And, you know, I don't want to.
All that will be for waste.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Not.
Well, I don't want to cheap our listeners out of that.
That's true.
You know, I'm serious about that.
They're paying good money for the show.
But I want to get to something that's kind of near and dear to my heart here for just a second because I don't know. This is I get weird ideas. If you've never met me before, you know that every once in a while I get weird ideas, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And this is not just my idea. I'm not at all claiming 100% culpability for this if it blows up in my face. But you know, you gotta have it out. Our next game, our next home game,
mm-hmm.
June 1st.
Correct.
June 1st against Houston.
Right.
I really want to see whether or not, at the end of the day, we have the ability as fans. Because everybody here, yeah, some of us have media credentials, whatever, but really this entire site, this entire podcast, all of this stuff was essentially, and this is the way it is around Major League Soccer, and it's kind of a unique thing around Major League Soccer. There wasn't a whole lot of, especially years and years ago, not a whole lot of media devoted or paying attention to Major League Soccer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of fans created media and created the ability, you know, the podcast that I was on and a couple other people were on back in 2008.
Yeah.
The obviously this Massive Report in general.
Right.
You can list off. Every single team in the league has a blog on SB Nation now, which check out SB Nation. That's my SB Nation plug for the night.
Yeah.
So we're contractually good now. Every single MLS team has a blog on SB Nation. I'm wondering, and I really want to see whether or not this works, if we as fans can be, and I'm not trying to throw the front office under the bus, because
no.
I know those guys work hard. And I know they
and
do
they're
what
doing
they,
great things.
They do,
they're doing
God's
year
work.
Improvements.
They're doing God's work.
Yeah.
I'm not at all trying to crap on the front office. This is not what this
is about. We're trying to help the front office.
I'm trying to be positive because here's the thing. I was friggin' pissed off Saturday night. Like, just beyond belief pissed off. Like, nothing that you could have said to me. You could have said, hey, Matt, guess what? You won Mega Millions the night before, and you forgot to check your ticket. And I still would have been like, friggin' Crew lost, and I'm angry right now. And I thought to myself, what can I do at this point? And what can others do? And what can we do as a fan collective to spin this in a positive way? And so here's my thing. I think we're all on board with this. I want the next home game, which is a little less than 3 weeks away at this point,
mm-hmm.
to sell out.
Okay.
I want it to sell out. And here's how we're going to accomplish this. We have some different media things that are going to be going up, some different stuff on the internet. There's been some buzz on Twitter. But long story short, this is going to be, I promised an announcement about this tonight, and this is the announcement. We have, according to our metrics that we get in, that Larry deciphers and puts into English for me because I'm stupid, we have about... 800 to 1,500 people listening to this podcast every single week.
Right.
You know, which blows my mind. Quite honestly, it blows my mind. But we have about that many people. If, and I don't think this is going to happen, I think it needs to be more than that, but if each one of those listeners were to bring between 5 and 10 friends to the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Or strangers.
Or homeless people that they met. Or just pick up a crap load of people at McDonald's right beforehand.
Swing by Lowe's or Home Depot on the way in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Lowe's is closer.
Yeah, yeah.
Home Depot's way far away. That's a lot of Frisch's. Yeah, just all the people just huddled around the buffet, the huddled masses around the Frisch's buffet beforehand. If all those people were to do that, the game would be sold out.
The huddled masses yearning to be massive.
Yearning to be massive,
which is
around the Frisch's
one
buffet.
One of our marketing terms.
It is. It's right. That's totally, that's one of my massive marketing terms. Yes. I just copyrighted that. You can't use it anymore,
hey,
Justin.
Mark.
Anyway, so this is what I want to do for the listeners to this show. The person, and I'll put this on the internet as well. The person that tweets, emails, whatever, me proof that they have sold the most, or not sold, but
bought.
Rather they bought four new fans.
Has to be new fans.
It has to be new people. It can't just be, oh, I already have 20 season tickets. We'll get to come on. They send me proof of this. We'll get to come on and host a segment of this show and talk about whatever the hell they want.
So let me clarify, because you're really, really bad at words tonight.
Yeah.
Because you're so excited. You're terrible at words.
I'm always terrible at words.
What Matt just said was, the person who can prove to him that they brought the most new people to the June 1st Columbus Crew versus Houston Dynamo match,
correct,
will get his seat on the podcast for 15 minutes.
That's not true. They're going to get your seat.
Whatever. They'll get a seat at the Massive Report table.
I need to moderate this crap.
They'll get a seat at the Massive Report table.
No.
They will get
a seat.
Yes.
They will get a seat
and a microphone
at the table, and a microphone and headphones. And
the whole kit and caboodle.
They will do my job.
Yep.
For one segment of the podcast,
if they bring the most,
on June 3rd.
If they bring the most and prove they brought the most new people to the game.
Exactly. You can't just send me an email and say, I brought 150 people.
No,
there
no,
needs
no.
to be a little proof on this.
Right.
You don't have to send me a picture of the barcodes on all your tickets if you're all concerned about the
Illuminati
stealing
your tickets. I mean,
that'd be cool
if you want to do that.
No, if you want to show me how many tickets you sold, you know, how many tickets you got your friends to buy,
mm-hmm.
that's perfectly fine. That's a great way to prove it.
And there is a caveat here.
Yeah.
And it's a big stinking caveat. Again, Matt, you're bad at words. They don't have to be Nordeca tickets.
No.
We would love
this
for them
not,
to be Nordeca tickets.
This is not a Nordeca thing.
Right.
It can be, you can buy a crap load of tickets in the South End.
Yep.
And you can bring a crap load of your friends in the South End. In the upper decks. You can,
yeah.
Hell, if you want to buy 30 field seats.
Go for it.
Go for it. That's fine.
Can they be Houston Dynamo fans?
Yeah.
That's about
draw the line.
Well,
and it can't be a youth soccer team either.
Actually, here's the thing. If a Houston Dynamo fan wants to stay until Monday.
Yeah.
I'm going to admire his or her effort, and I'll at least put him on the podcast. I won't let him host. I won't let him host, and I'll moderate the crap out of what they say. But you know what? Mad respect for flying that long. Mad respect for purchasing that many plane tickets. Mad respect. I'll you know what? I'll let them on the show. I will not let them host. So that's the only caveat.
That's fair.
Yeah. No, mad respect. Because
yeah.
I went down, I literally... In 2008, was the only Crew fan in all of whatever the stadium was
Robertson.
That they were in. Robertson, thank you. Robertson Stadium. I was the only Crew fan there.
Really?
And I was treated like absolute crap by the Texan Army.
Well, that's
when
because
I had to pee
you're
before the game.
And they, you didn't get a spot on their podcast.
I did not
contest.
Get a spot. There was no podcast to. Well, there was no podcast to get a spot on. I don't know if they have one now. I'm not 100% sure. I don't follow the Houston Dynamo apparently as well as I should. But
if they do, it's called Seeing Orange.
Yeah.
Because everything they do in Houston is called Seeing Orange.
It's called What Rhymes with Orange.
Right.
So that's what we've got.
Our resident writer's cracking up.
Yeah, as Justin talks into his orange mic condom that he's got going on right now. So that's that. But let's talk a little bit about Saturday night's game, because it was the worst of times. It was the worst of times. We'll just put it up like that to go. If almost chances counted, we would have won this game like 6-2. I mean, we had a lot of. I mean, I wouldn't say that much, but we had a lot of also rans in this to coin a phrase. What are your thoughts, Chris, on Saturday's game?
Sucked. I really don't know what else to say. I mean, yeah, okay. We'll go through all the platitudes. They played a very good game. They controlled the tempo for most of the day. They took a lot of good shots that just didn't go in.
But who gives a crap?
Exactly. The way I see it, it was just another mediocre, standard fare Columbus Crew soccer match that they lost due to fill in your favorite excuse.
Okay.
And I'm getting tired of excuses. I want to see some balls in the back of the net.
Justin.
I thought they played a good game. I'm sorry.
No,
I know, like, I'm one of the very
have to
few
apologize
people.
For that.
Like,
no,
for,
you don't.
From the very beginning, we had. It was, you know, Zach Warzia. It's his fault. Dude, I keep saying this. It's not his fault. You have a team that is playing very, they're not playing great soccer, but they're playing better soccer over the last 3 weeks than they have been in recent memory. I mean, one of my major criticisms of this staff for years now has been that he does not put his best players in a position to win, to succeed, to win games. He's starting to do that. He's got a lineup out there that is basically who he has to win games. We had 22 shots in the last game, seven on frame. I mean, that's a big improvement over 3 weeks.
Clint, whatever his new rookie name is, to make a lot of really good saves.
Yeah. We did.
I'm not going to disagree with Justin. They played a great game. It just, the ball didn't go in.
I'm talking about the net sum, though.
They played a good game.
Okay,
they played a great game.
They played a good game. No, you're right. And this one wasn't on Bobby.
No, I don't think so. I don't think, and again, I think this is what happens when you, I think Larry might talk about this in a little bit, but, you know, they look like they're rushing. And what you see is, when you see guys, this is the difference between someone who scores goals and just a quality, or just an okay, a regular run-of-the-mill soccer player.
Right.
Is that when the ball lands at their feet and they're at the 18-yard box, they know that it's just a moment. Just takes a moment to put a ball on frame and to not panic and to just put a ball where it needs to go. If the keeper saves it, make the keeper save it.
Yeah.
But have the quality to slow down for just a second, see where on the ball you have to put your foot on the ball, and then put the ball in frame. And we don't have that. Why? Because that is a marketable skill in soccer. That costs money to go and get players who can do that. There's a perfect example of this that in the 60th minute of the match, the ball lands at Josh Williams' feet in a perfect spot. He's got the entire goal in front of him, and he scuffs it into the ground. Now, Josh Williams is a good soccer player. Josh Williams can do a lot of good things. Josh Williams has scored goals for the Crew this year. But Josh Williams is not quality enough to do something with that ball. That ball needs to be put on frame, and it needs to be put on frame with pace. He's just not good enough to do that, and it's not his fault. Like, these guys want to win so badly. I see this in them when they go out. They're trying really, really hard, and I think their coaches are trying really, really hard to get them to win. But that final touch, that last kick, is just not there, and that is a talent thing. That's a quality thing. And I don't know how, you know, the notion, you know, it's time to make a change in the coaching staff. It's time to do these things. That's fine. Go do that. That does not change who they put out on the field right now, unless they go out and spend some money to get a better player.
Yeah, I think.
What do you think, Larry?
Well, I think that I feel a little bit differently, but it's not so much about Warzea. It's more about the organization. I can't say the entire organization, but more the entire coaching staff, the way they approach games. I mean, he has been one of the things I've liked about the team this year is their starting formation has been very, very consistent. Like, they're putting the same guys out there, and that's something that I actually like. I don't like a lot of change, especially if they're getting moderate to good results. And not overreacting, because what the Crew does is overreact. The way they've overreacted recently is the Chicago game was such a horrible game.
Yeah,
don't ever go back and watch that game.
It was a
game.
Shit show.
Don't ever go back. But what they
did. Why did I pay over $100 to go to that game?
I'm sorry. But what happened was is after that game, they've come out and overcorrected. They've been too fast, too intense. The DC game, you know, one guy on that team had a bad game. They're awful. But the two games after that, they played the same way. Just hyperactive, ADHD kind of, you know, go, press. And it's too much. They've gotten a lot of chances, but they haven't been the best chances. And when they do get it on frame, it's not quality. Arrieta had one that whipped over the bar that looked like him from last year. But other than that, there was a header, I think, late in the game. Just too fast.
And you get the sense that they're kind of figuring something out a little bit. I mean, Matias Sanchez, I thought, played a very good game. Kind of what we expected him to be able to
exactly.
bring. And
his first touch on the ball was brilliant.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was
and
amazing.
Also, there was a moment where he got in Edson Buttle's face.
Yeah.
And was,
that's,
you know, there's some fire there.
That's what he likes to do.
He's a fire kid.
He's intense.
And, I mean, I like that in having a play. And, you know, I thought Danny O'Rourke's last two matches have been his best two matches since 2008. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't there in this game this week. Does that make a difference in whether or not they score a goal? I don't know.
If
I
we
doubt
have
it,
a Danny O'Rourke and a Sanchez back there playing
pairing
this last game, does Colorado? I mean, I know they're both those. Like, the first goal is legit, but the second one was kind of
the second one.
That's a very good point. I think that if you've got two guys, because they play very similar.
Yeah.
They're both Bulldogs. They're both going to attack the offense.
I think Colorado might have been scared if both of those guys were
Colorado, no, that's exactly right. They wouldn't have had the cojones to take the ball into the box as often as they did.
I think that's a really good point. I think that it's a situation where the lineup, the weirdness with the lineup and the little tweaks in the lineup, I think may have disturbed us this week.
I still think that the decision with Arrieta to hold him out for couple of three games has thrown him off.
Oh no, it totally has.
And now Orzia had a quote about it too. He said, "All it takes is one goal to get back in it." But it's like, you know, he could have had that goal two or three games ago.
He had assists in the DC game.
And so it's set the team back a little bit because he's the guy they're depending on to score every other game.
If you're going to play with that,
you're depending on Arrieta to score and you're depending on Higuain to score.
Yeah, and Odoro in the midfield.
I mean, is Higuain somebody who we're depending on to score or to create scoring opportunities?
That's a great question.
I think nobody knows. I don't think they know.
Right. Well, it's a great question. We'll expound upon that and more stuff for the Colorado match when we come back. It's the Massive Report.
Our kids are getting worse. They won't obey their parents. They just want to fart and curse. Should we blame the government or blame society? Or should we blame the images on TV? Now,
blame Canada! Blame Canada!
It seems that everything's gone wrong. Said Canada came along.
Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
We need to form a full assault.
Canada's fault!
Don't blame yourself.
Yeah. So we're back. It's the Massive Report. We're not even talking about Dunk until the third segment. I still like this. No. I'm good with it. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, it's never too early to blame Canada.
It's never too early to blame Canada.
It's the biggest week of the year.
It's
Trillium Cup.
Don't we play them 3 times?
We do. Yeah. We play them 3 times every year. Well, except for the couple times we played them twice.
You should get a new cup for each Trillium like that we win.
Yes.
And then we can just carry him around. We can
mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll use Trillium Cups as our currency down here in Columbus.
It's the soccer-specific stadium cup.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing, like, if you look up soccer-specific stadium on Wikipedia, there's a whole thing about how Toronto FC's stadium, BMO Field, was the first soccer-specific stadium in Canada.
Oh, that's so...
Really late to the party, guys.
They invented the soccer-specific stadium.
Well, they did.
They did.
Yeah. They also deserve butter.
They do. Butter's tasty. Let's go back. I want to go back because I know we were still talking about points from this Colorado game. It really does seem to me like we beat Colorado on every aspect of the score sheet except for the one that matters.
Which is?
It's like the New York game.
Again. Story of our life.
Yeah, it's like the New York game. It's the story of our life at this point. And quite honestly, it's weird because it was almost the opposite as far as shots and as far as things like that with the DC game. Right. Mm-hmm. Do we have a situation here? Because if you look right now at the teams we've beaten DC twice, and we've beaten Chivas once. DC is last in the East, and Chivas is last in the West.
Well, and they're quickly getting worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chivas got spanked yesterday.
They did.
Like
they did.
A red-headed Mexican stepchild.
But is that not, is that not a red flag?
No, it's a huge red flag.
Well, it's what happened. It happened last year too. I mean, with the unbalanced schedule, there's the have and the have-nots in the Eastern Conference. There's the top four teams and then there's the bottom four teams, and you know the Crew and Philly are sort of right in the middle.
Yeah,
and they're not able to beat the top four.
Yeah,
they can beat the bottom guys, but the thing about Philly,
they can beat the bottom guy.
guy. We'll find out this weekend if he could beat the bottom guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, Phillies gave him fits a few weeks ago at home. And then, you know, New England, actually they played New England twice in a row to end the year. New England's actually playing people strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not going to be an easy, you know, it's looking like Philadelphia Crew for that fifth and final spot.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be easy because with Duncan going and then also with Philly and New England playing everybody tough. It's
You know, I do want to bring up, though, the last time that we started a season, and you have more data than I do, but the last time we started a season this craptacular, I mean just this bad, was 09. In my opinion.
Wait, wasn't
I mean
it
just in my opinion.
Wait, I don't know about
I'm
at
not
home.
Saying I'm not saying statistically.
No,
I'm saying that. I'm saying how bad we've played.
Well, we haven't played bad though.
09 was really, I remember, I think I remember playing LA in 09. I can't remember what week it was, but I remember losing that match.
Yeah.
And thinking to myself, what happened over the course of the year? But
there Chris is signaling 08 to me. No, 09 was worse
than
08.
We started with that 7-game slump in 08.
No, we won the first game of the season. That was 09.
Oh, sorry.
That was 09. 08, we won the first game of the season.
I got my 08 and 09
mixed up. What I'm saying.
But there was a sense during the 09 season that things had a direction.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it was 09. I remember because I went on the road trip to Salt Lake and Chivas. Mormon Tokers and Goats. Only because we stopped in Vegas on the way in between, which
hence the hookers.
Dear MLS scheduling.
Thank you.
Please, for the love of God, do that again.
Please, no,
for the love of God, schedule Salt Lake and either LA team. I don't care which one.
No.
I don't care which one. Schedule Salt Lake and then schedule LA and schedule them within the same week because I get to go to Vegas.
Wasn't it a Saturday, Wednesday?
It was a Wednesday, Sunday.
That's right.
It was fantastic because we didn't even get into LA until about 2 hours before match time. We were in. It was
it's
the
like
Wednesday,
hangover.
The Thursday. We got a ride to the airport on Thursday. We rented a car there. We drove to Vegas, and we were in Vegas pretty much Thursday night through Sunday morning. And then Sunday morning, we got up really friggin' early and headed into. It was fantastic. More destination road trips like that would make me happy.
You know,
in my heart of hearts.
If attendance doesn't improve, you might get to see games in Las Vegas every week.
I might get to. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
But
that's not happening. It's really not happening. I'm just saying. Let's not be.
I know it's
that much a naysayers at this point. But my point beyond this. 09 was horrible.
Right.
At the beginning of the season. We ended up winning the Supporters' Shield in 09.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys remember that or not. You probably do. But it was because 09, we got our crap together. We got our crap together about mid-May.
And you had some good players on that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There were some. Well, I mean, they were mediocre.
Yeah,
I mean, how good is it?
They haven't just won the Supporters' Shield and MLS Cup or anything.
How good is Eric Bruner? I mean, for real.
Well, there's that. I'm just saying, we have
Adam Moffitt.
We have some very good players on this team. We do. The problem is they don't know how to combine together in order to score goals.
I think we have good players on this team.
Yeah,
but they're just not.
But are they as good as sold? I mean, as marketed?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
It's like this. If you have, let's say you have a really nice car, and you have really good parts, and everything looks very nice, and, you know, you have you've chromed it up, and it's shiny and sparkling.
I've got a nice car.
But then,
I was thinking.
That was nice.
But then you have a four-cylinder engine under the hood. I mean,
so
the car's not
you have
gonna,
a Honda Civic.
Honda Civic. Yeah.
I mean, it's.
We love Honda. Please sponsor the team.
It's that last piece that's missing, and it's. I mean, you have to spend. You're gonna have to go out and spend a little money to make a race car, to make something that's. And I think what you're kind of referring to is like what they're trying to sell is over and over and over again we hear the team's playing great. There's exciting soccer happening in Columbus, and kind of they're not. All that far off with that bit because they, like we're saying, they're playing better. They're trying very hard, It's just that there's that last thing that's missing that's keeping them from being exciting or entertaining soccer and being winning soccer.
Yeah.
And the, you know, people do. They like to see a winner. And so, you know, you can have a team that plays very, very well, go out and lose 2-0, and everyone's like, this is horrible. This is terrible. But if you have been watching over the course of the last few years, in what I like to call the goals will come era, then you know that the team is playing better. Right now, they are playing better. I don't know how else to say that other than just to say, please go back and watch the rest of these matches.
How much more heartbreaking is it, though, and how much more just trying for the fan base is it, though, when you have a situation like if they would have come out against Colorado and just crapped the bed like they did in that Chicago game?
That Chicago game was so crushing to me. That to me was infinitely worse than what we saw.
But what is worse, mentally, you could have won, but you didn't capitalize on anything, or you came out and you had no opportunity to win.
Yeah, I think it hurts when that happens twice in a row at home.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. In consecutive weeks. You can't get into the mind of the players and, you know, the professionals, and they're just going to move on to the next thing. But it bothers the fans. I mean, I think you guys probably saw it in the supporter section in Nordica, is that it really affects the fans. Everybody starts getting
bickering
a little
with one
unstable.
Another.
Yeah. And I think it's
a
the same
unstable is an understatement
with the organization. Yeah. It unsettles you a little bit. I tried looking. I tried going back and finding, first of all, 2 losses in a row at home. During a 3-game homestand, I couldn't find it. Yeah. I think they had 2 losses in a row in 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They broke the floor.
But they weren't they weren't shut out.
No.
Both games.
They weren't shut out
both games. Both games. Yeah. And then I tried going back further into the dark archives of Major League Soccer to find 2 home games where they were shut out in a row. And I couldn't. I got back to 2003 and I started losing my mind a little bit.
Your eyes crossed a little bit.
I started getting into the offsides.
MassiveReportData.com would have been a great tool for that and a resource.
That would have kept me sane.
It would have kept you sane. Speaking of plugging things, I want to plug something real quick here.
Don't hurt yourself.
Well, I'll try not to. Massive Report Podcast, every single Monday night, 7 o'clock here at Hendox, except for Memorial Day weekend.
Ah, yes. This is a good plug.
This is a really good plug.
This is going to be fun.
Well, next week, Chris Lamacchia taking over hosting duties for the show, because I am going to be MIA.
Hold on to your butts.
It's Diamond Dog Night, son. I'm going to Diamond Dog Night. Actually, work's making me go to Diamond Dog Night.
Oh, you poor guy.
I know. I'm okay with it. Free Clippers tickets and free hot dogs. I'll do it. But week after that, and I'm going to ask Sam on air here real quick, because I forgot to check with him earlier.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm going to go ahead and answer for Sam. It's totally fine.
New York game is on a Sunday that week. Podcast before and podcast after. Half and half. A little half and half action right here at Hendox. Not going to happen.
Oh,
not going to happen.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, well, we're going to do it Tuesday that week then. Does that sound good? Because Hendox is not open on Memorial Day. Because Willie apparently...
He likes to go fishing on Memorial Day.
He does like to go fishing on Memorial Day.
Did you see the fish he caught the other day?
Oh, my God.
It was as big as my arm.
Willie the bartender is my favorite person that exists in the history of persons. Also, every Monday night here, $2 drafts, and come out and join us, because we actually have a really good crowd tonight. Thank you very much.
Jim Bach is here.
Human beings. Jim Bach is here, which is just crazy, and he's not paying attention right now. He's over there talking to Rick Gethin, like Rick Gethin owes him money or something along those lines. You know, that's a thing.
Smile and nod.
So, kind of, let's do this before we go into the next segment here. Last remaining thoughts on the Colorado game.
It sucked.
I'm actually not as busted up about it as I think most of the world is. I guess it's hard for me because I am not a huge fan of the way that the club's going.
Yeah.
But in general, like, if I look at the long term, but I look at the last couple weeks and I see that the team is improving in small areas. And
they are getting more responsible.
They are getting more responsible.
More responsible.
They're soccering better.
They are soccering a little better. They just, you know, score goals. I guess that's what it's all about.
The only thing I can say is whenever you see someone trying really hard and they're not able to accomplish what they want to accomplish, it's troubling.
Yeah.
It's a red flag.
I agree with all of those points.
Well, like, so if we ask then, what's the thing that needs to happen then? What would that thing be? I mean, like I said at the end of the last segment, you know, we're not sure. Is Higuain's role to score goals? I don't think so. I think his role is to put people, get the ball to people who are in positions to score goals. I think he's doing that.
Yeah.
So who?
Well, they are. Yeah.
Are these people? Do we need to get another player? Which is my, it's kind of been my position on this.
Chris just had a little Tourette there.
That was like a cat sneeze.
No, I want to agree with that, but yeah. At the same time, I think that there are enough pieces that we don't need to go get another. These guys just need to gel better.
Well, we said something during the break I think is important. Dominic Oduro he might not score another goal for the rest of this year. I mean, that's a legitimate... kind of what Dominic Oduro is. Is he goes out and he has like a couple great games where he just does something that's amazing, and he's quick, and he's going to put himself in a spot where he can go score a goal. But there's that last piece.
So here's our challenge to Dominic Oduro. Prove Justin Bell wrong.
I have a lot of faith in him. I think he's a good player.
Yeah, given the opportunities.
But, you know, it's like Larry was saying in the last segment, you start to press, you start to see things. You know, you're starting to do things a little, trying harder to do something that's simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that you hear a lot at the academy is, you know, play simple.
Yeah.
Play simple. Use what's there. Take what's there. Don't press as hard as you want it, because you want to score. If you're a quality, if you have a good attitude when you're going out there to play, you want to score the ball. That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
So have confidence in your abilities to slow down, put the ball in the back of the net. Take a good shot. And I think once we do that, I think it'll break. I think the dam will break. If we get one goal.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen it.
Yeah, we have. We've seen it numerous times. We're going to come back.
Have faith in the crew.
Have faith. We're going to come back
in just
a second.
They're our boys for a reason.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk about our favorite Kiwi. How sad we are. It's the Massive Report. On the Massive Report.
I didn't know my return would involve pure cheese.
It was. Little Robin Sparkles for you there.
It's glorious.
Yeah. You know, like,
that's my jam.
Maybe a tenth of our audience got that, but I don't care. It's I'm fine with that. Everybody else can Google "Let's go to the mall" and figure it out.
Don't.
Yeah, no, you should. On the Google webs, because it's fantastic. I'm just saying. We're back. We're going to talk about Duncan for a second or two here, because
yeah, buddy.
I got nothing but love for the guy. Duncan Aughton leaving the crew, heading to Toronto FC. We play Toronto FC on Saturday.
Oh, gee,
how weird.
Yeah,
but no, I want to get kind of. I want to get your visceral reactions and then your actual reactions. Because I think those are two completely different things.
Can we maybe step out and go ethereal with this?
Yes, let's do that.
There you go.
Rick, I want to start with you.
Okay.
Just because it's been a while since you've been on the show.
Just a bit. A
whole couple weeks.
Just a bit.
A couple weeks. So.
What do I think of Duncan leaving?
Yeah.
Dunk was a really good guy. stand-up guy.
He's not dead. You can say is.
You know, is, not, was.
He went to Canada.
He's dead to me
it's,
now.
I mean, it's kind of close.
It's
but,
remarkable
you know.
How many people have that same kind of way of talking about him.
He's dead to me now. I mean, he went north of the border. I don't know.
Well, having a career at Toronto FC is essentially akin to being dead. But, you know, whatever. Go ahead.
He was a stand-up guy that really always struck me as the kind of guy that would literally give you the shirt off of his back.
Yeah.
Always had a kind word to say about everybody.
Yeah.
Never really showed me any emotion when it came to as far as is the team on the right course? Are they playing up to where they need to be playing or should be playing? He never really gave me that feeling. It was always a very, almost like a TV-like thing. Don't want to say a bad word. So, you know, in that regards, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Personally, I didn't know him as well as probably Justin did. But, you know, from what I do know of him, he was a real stand-up guy, and that's all I can really say.
Well, Justin and Duncan did live together in that that hostel for 7 months. Justin, your thoughts on the whole?
So you were shacking up with the Kiwi?
No, I made that up. I wasn't one of Duncan's like close friends because we know like a lot of the guys who were his close friends.
Mm-hmm. The majority of the HSHOG guys, were really really good friends with Duncan.
I mean, but I was a fan of Duncan.
Yeah.
And, like...
Who wasn't?
Getting to know Duncan as a fan, like, you know, sitting... Being able to sit down at the old Hooligans bar and talk about stuff with him. Yeah, I mean, he's just... Honestly, he's just one of the best people in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know how else you can say it other than that. He's just literally one of the best people in the world.
Yeah.
I think it's part of him being Kiwi. Too. I mean, I've never. I've met a few people from New Zealand. Really?
No.
I was gonna say I've never met somebody like
jerk.
That. But,
No, but no, seriously, he's just one of the nicest dudes in the world.
Yeah.
That's just all. That's all that you have to say about him. As a soccer player, he was great to watch. I mean, back in the old days, you'd watch him go out there and play, and he always left it on the pitch. That old kind of, you know, it's. I guess it's kind of a cliche to say that, but he always did.
Yeah.
And he bled, sweated, and
teared.
Know, cried and teared for the Columbus Crew.
He bled black and gold. I mean, he really did.
He's just one of the greatest guys you could imagine.
Larry?
Well, I never, you know, I didn't know him personally. I just know him professionally over the past few years, and I never heard anybody say anything really bad about him, and he did so much for the team. And just looking at it from high-level organizational kind of thing. When you look to these kind of guys that never say anything bad about the team, and, you know, their actions speak louder than their actual words. He will never say anything bad about the Crew. Never. You know, after Toronto, wherever he moves on from there, back to New Zealand, Australia, whatever. But you look to those kind of guys and you say, well, why is he leaving? Why didn't they try to retrain him? Did the Crew really make an offer to try to keep him? He did so much, and I read that they, you know, he asked the Crew. He said, "Look, this is what Toronto wants to give me, and you know, what do you guys have?" And the Crew weren't able to give him what he wanted.
Yeah.
And you know, and if you were to ask me, who's the one guy you need to keep around town?
Yeah.
You know, he's probably that guy.
Yeah.
He's at least one of the three guys that you keep. I'm not trying to get down on the Crew. It could be something personal with Duncan, you know, that he just wants to move on. I know he wants to be a coach. But he did so much for the team.
This is why I can't fault Duncan. And I'll go back to, and it was one of the first Massive Report podcasts that I was on when we had the interview with Duncan. I'm assuming, Sam, that's in the archives somewhere.
It's actually in the archives in picture and in sound, but Duncan was actually the first interview on Massive Report Podcast, on episode one.
Yeah.
It was in 2010, and it was after Black Monday, as we all saw.
That was not the one that I was referring to, but yes.
Oh, okay. That's how cool he was. Like, when we asked him to come on, he had just been cut by the team. Mm-hmm. He's still hanging around town. And we're like, hey, we'd love to have you on, you know. And I think after he was on our podcast, 2 days later, he was announced as being assistant to the head coach. And then maybe a week later, he was announced as TV analysis or, you know.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes, okay. But, no, there was a secondary one, and I want to say it was the first one that we did at Three-Legged Mare. The first interview that we actually did at Three-Legged Mare. And I brought this up to Duncan, and I found it hilarious at the time, and I still find it kind of hilarious. It was FIFA 2006. And on FIFA 2006, there was a thing on FIFA 2006 where you had a situation where if you didn't start a certain player, your fans would get angry at you and you would get fired as a manager. And Duncan Outen was that guy for the crew.
I'm going to go play that because I do have that stuff on my PS2. And I'm going to go play that and find that screenshot.
There were two things there. There were
and
two
all
things
the nerds start running to their games.
No, I'm just saying. No, it's, I'm just it was saying. Awesome. It was one of the most... It was a really funny thing, but at the same time... And I brought that up to Duncan during the interview because I wanted to do something that was a little different and not really soccer, you know, really soccer related. Duncan had no idea.
Yeah,
Duncan had no idea, and it was just one of those things where it was like, this is, and legitimately,
they got it right.
Yeah, they got it right. Yeah. And he's a guy that, you know, really at the end of the day, he is a genuinely positive person, and to that, some people will say it's almost a bit cartoonish how positive he was about this team, but I don't think that's the case. I think it was a situation where he genuinely feels that way, and I think he genuinely believes that.
Yeah, allow me to bring up a situation in which I've received, I won't say angry, but I'll say concerned voicemails from a certain Duncan Outen a day after a certain Chris Lamacchia posts some angry rants on Massive Report.
Really?
And we're talking like, he called me and he was genuinely, I've never seen Duncan angry off the field. He was genuinely,
I've
like,
seen Duncan angry
mad.
A few times.
and I had to calm him down and be like, let me take care of it. Let me, you know, well.
This
we'll
is Lamacchia we'll we're talking about.
Yeah,
you know?
We'll get straight
out.
And I will
fuzzy
say this,
teddy bear.
And I will say this. He did calm down.
Him.
And it did get straightened out after a few beers at the crew awards ceremony later that year. But, you know, I've had a lot of hard-to-hard discussions with Duncan on and off the record.
That one was very off the record.
That one was very off the record. But, yeah, Duncan had that kind of passion about the crew.
Well, Chris wants to tell his story, so I think this is a good segue into Chris's Duncan story. So go ahead, Chris.
Has anybody told the Duncan Outen at Hooligan's Bar with the Newcastle guy story yet?
Oh, God.
No.
Okay, good. So
and three midgets.
No. So the night before the crew played Newcastle, what was that, 2011?
Yeah.
Okay. All of the journalists from Newcastle, the guy from the Evening Chronicle and the other paper in Newcastle, and some of us hooligans came here to Hendox for, you know, the party after the party at 4th Street, and we closed Hendox like hooligans will do, and then we went to Hooligan's Pub because, you know, we had the keys to it.
Yeah.
And it was the only place to drink. And so there were like 7 of us, and I'm not going to mention any names other than Duncan because he's the important one.
To protect the innocent, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
There you
and,
go.
And so at one point, after a few apple juices, it's probably, it's way past the witching hour at this point.
The sun was breaking?
One of the hooligans and the gentleman who writes for about the Newcastle version of Adam Jardy for the Newcastle Evening Chronicle, the beat reporter, get into a spat about something.
And, oh, that never happens.
Right, and someone may have thrown a punch at someone else. I'm not going to say whether or not it landed. But I just remember Duncan diving at this guy, and I caught Duncan and went, no, you can't get involved in this. And carried him out of the bar with him, you know, kicking and screaming, trying to defend his hooligan brethren. And I'll never forget the look on his face, like, let me at him.
But Duncan wears his heart on his sleeve.
Absolutely.
That's always been very apparent. Since the first day he came in.
Here's the point that I'm going to make, and I'm going to segue off of Chris's story, and I really want to talk to the one Toronto FC fan that probably listens to this podcast. The one. You have him. And good for you. Good for you. Here's the deal.
Hug him.
I don't think that our team probably made a good qualifying offer, and I don't think that he made a bad decision career-wise. Because he's looking to coach. He was the assistant to the regional manager here. He was not the assistant coach.
and he has more opportunities there, and he's coaching with a friend of his. That's awesome.
And he's going to do well.
Yes.
I mean, here's, you know, the one thing that we keep saying, though.
I'm really trying to have a moment here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Justin, thanks. Thanks.
Ahead.
I'm really trying to have a moment
with
here.
With the one Toronto FC
and
fan?
Your spell is broken. With the one, with the one Toronto FC fan.
You're connecting
with
the audience
very well.
With
the one Toronto FC fan. Here's the deal.
Joe.
You may have him, but you don't have him. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Now,
he's
Justin,
ours.
Go ahead and make your thing.
The one thing that... The word that kept coming up there for a while, where you guys were having your discussions before we talked to the Toronto
the
dude.
Love fest.
Yes. You know, the word that you guys kept saying was genuine.
Yeah.
That's exactly Duncan.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the word, genuine. And, you know, before the ceremony, before the game on Saturday, I happened to be down field level, and I looked over, and there was John and Grant, who were the original HSH OGs. And if you know John and Grant, you know that they're tough dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to get into anything with either one of those guys. But, you know, I went up and we were talking for just a brief second before they went on the field. And those guys were so – you could tell. You could just see, like, they were emotional about this. And if – you know, it made me emotional.
Yeah.
Like, even when we heard that Duncan was leaving – I remember where I was. This is one of those moments where you're gonna, like, I remember where I was when. I mean, I was driving the car with my brother at the time, and he said, I was like, whoa, Duncan's going to Toronto. And I said to him, my brother was like, well, how do you feel about that? I said, well, I'm really emotionally confused right now.
Yeah.
Because this is really good for him.
Yeah.
As a person, as a professional, this is really a good move for him. It's a smart move.
Well, no, he wants to be a head coach.
Yeah.
He has the talent to be a head coach.
Absolutely.
But he needs to get the experience to be a head coach.
Yeah, you want him to do it. You want him to go and do well. But, you know, did it have to be there?
Yeah.
You know, that's the one thing that
Does he go there, get the experience for the rest of this season, and come back here? Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't see it happening.
Literally, he could go.
I really don't.
I think he can do better.
Yeah.
As another former crew friend of ours said, he said, he'll go there, they're going to suck for 2 years, and he'll be able to come back. But he's gained all this experience. Because
he won't need to come back.
His entire staff will get, you know, the entire staff will get fired because,
well, let's look
it's
at what,
Toronto.
Well,
after
it's
all.
The turnstile for coaches.
Yeah.
Look that's at what TFC stands for.
Look at what Toronto's doing, though. That, I mean, for years and years, they have done the same thing. Like, oh, they had such high expectations when they came into the league. They were going to show us all. That's what they kept saying. We're going to show you idiots. Oh, this is MLS 2.0. And they went over and over and over with the same crap, over and over and over, hiring the next Scottish dude that was in line.
Yeah.
Hiring freaking Brecky.
They showed us all how to lose.
I mean, they did it over and over and over again. And now, like a few weeks ago, I said Toronto FC is kind of looming on the horizon. And I'm not... It's unsettling for me.
Yeah.
Ryan Nelson is a guy who's a legit soccer...
He's got a soccer mind.
Yeah, and so he might be the person that they need to change things. And bringing Duncan Otten in is a smart move.
It's incredibly smart.
Really smart.
The one thing that I'll say about Ryan Nelson at this point, with everything, with the designated players that they have, with everything else that they have, they still have 7 points on the season. They still have 7 points.
Five behind
us. We have 12. Here's the thing. We're having... What some are calling the worst season ever. we have some, and I just want to read. I just want to read off. Come on, Jim. What do you say? Come on. Jump on the mic.
Come on.
No.
Where were you in 2005?
No. I said what some people are calling.
Where were
I said
you
what some people
when
are
Ming
calling.
The Merciless was rampaging down the right flank?
I'm not saying that's what I believe. I'm not saying that's what I believe. I'm saying that's what some people are calling.
Some people is a cop out, and you know it.
But here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. We at least at this point, we're sitting at 12 points. We're sitting at 6th place in the East. Toronto, 7 points. The difference is we're 3-4-3. Toronto is 1-5-4, right? And here's the Schadenfreude. Here's the Schadenfreude of the entire situation. The Revs, 10 points. The Fire, 7 points. Yeah. DC United, 4 points.
Yeah. Any of those teams can...
If this was 2005, we'd be in second place in the East. I mean, realistically, we would. We would.
Out of
yet it's not. It's 2016.
Out of 16.
That's what I'm saying. So let's go ahead and put this one to bed. We're going to come back in just a couple seconds here, and we're going to talk about the Toronto game. It's coming up. This is the Massive Report.
The Sky Dome and the CN Tower too. I hate Nathan Phillips Square and the Ontario Zoo. The rent's too high, the air's unclean, the beaches are dirty and the people are mean. And the women are big and the men are dumb, and the children are loopy because they live in a slum. The water is polluted and the mayor's a dork. They dress real bad and they think they're New York. In Toronto, Ontario.
You know, actually, I think I pretty much hate all of Ontario.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I hate Thunder Bay and Ottawa.
Yeah, I hate Thunder Bay, too. Screw those guys.
I don't know. Who was that, Sam? We need to plug them.
The Beatles?
It was the Beatles. We'll just say it was the shitty Beatles.
The cockroaches.
I would look, but I don't want to touch and screw something up.
It's the Massive Report. What's up, guys?
Hi.
How you doing?
I have a new favorite band.
I know. The Shitty Beatles.
The Dung Beatles.
The Dung Beatles. Ba-dum-bum. They also deserve butter. It's Hate Toronto Week, apparently, but first we need to get to questions.
Okay.
So let's do questions.
Got a couple of questions from the Facebooks while Sam is pulling up the questions from the Twitters. The first question from the Facebooks comes from Chris Edwards, our friend from Down Under.
He comes from a land down under.
Sure. He eats a lot of Vegemite sandwiches. He asks.
Pretty much all he subsides on.
Fromanda cheese.
Also the founder of the Perthic Strangers.
Yes, he is the founder of the Perthic Strangers.
Yeah.
He asks, question, will more boobs be shown during the summer months?
Gotta hope
so.
Yes! Gotta hope
Well, I have a question for the question. Does he mean, like, boobs, or does he mean, you know, stupid coaching
moves?
He means boobs.
I think he means
It's
Chris.
Breasticles.
Headlights!
Breasticles. Yeah. Okay, then.
He likes the lady parts. I'm just going to say.
And who doesn't?
The second question comes from Al Werner. I'm not quite sure where he's from, but I'm assuming it's not Australia.
It's not.
He asks, are we getting more shots on goal this year than last? Are we improving in our offensive power but just can't finish?
Larry!
And Larry, stat man coming.
Larry He's already answered this on man. Facebook, but just I'm sure he wants to expound.
Yeah, I think the crew are doing well in getting chances. They're just the quality. I think we've talked about it on this podcast already. Is that they're rushing everything. They're taking.
Yeah,
they're getting shots on frame, but they're not very good. They're usually right at the keeper. They'll get a couple where Irwin from Colorado had to make the save, but
yeah.
What it works out to be is they need five shots on frame to get a goal, and that's exactly what they're averaging is five on, you know. So that's their goals per game is one.
Now, when you say on frame, do you mean like side to side of the pitch? Because that's about where they're
shooting. What I mean, and I like to call it on frame instead of shots on goal, because a shot on goal can be a near miss off the right post or left post or something like that. Yeah. A shot on frame is something that actually has a chance to go in.
Okay.
And it's a key stat for a lot of these teams. And Columbus has historically been poor finishers of anything that is shot on frame. And this year is...
no exception.
Especially bad. It's a Warzea coach thing.
Right.
Not to put it all on him, it's just the coaching staff. Maybe it could be something in the way they practice or something like that. But they need more chances on frame in order for them to go in.
Yeah, I just think it's a matter of there are players who can do it.
Yeah.
I think it's something you can teach, but it's something that big clubs pay millions of dollars to get.
Yeah.
And I last week I thought I saw, you know, one of the greatest goals you will ever see in Major League Soccer, and it was by Thierry Henry. And there's a reason why he's paid millions of dollars to play for New York. He made that bicycle kick that he took was incredible. And it's exactly why he is who he is. You watched him play for years and years, and it looks like he's doing these things in slow motion. It's like we are all in the matrix that is around Thierry Henry. And he and like he does these things, and I feel like Trinity. I want to walk up to him and be like, I've never seen anyone move so fast. But he moves elegantly and slowly, and it's like he decided to take that ball out of the air and kick it in a bicycle kick. And you just knew it was going to go in. And it's just, that is a quality that you have to pay for.
Yeah.
And we
can't afford it.
We don't want to pay. Our millionaire, bazillionaire owners who basically have licenses to print money don't want to pay for it.
Wow, that's disturbing.
Were you just singing the Dallas theme?
Yep.
It was.
Nice reference.
I want to bring
yourself
in.
What's really scary is that you know that, Chris. That's scary.
I don't live under a rock.
I do.
Go ahead, Sam.
Friend of Massive Report, our buddy AJ Joe, actually.
When's he coming on the air, by the way?
We have
He's
to
a
get
smart
him,
dude.
Yeah, we have to get him on sometime. But
we should.
He actually sent a very poignant tweet. He said, I would like to remind the Massive Report that we had a 3-game homestand and only scored 3 points. That was deemed unacceptable on Massive Report.
Yeah,
and there are two things that I want to share with here, but Rick, could you quickly recap what you wrote? Because I think it relates to we've got a lot of questions about where do we go from here, and I think this would be a good topic of discussion at this point.
As far as it being unacceptable, I mean, to any and. Growing up playing soccer, playing other sports, something like that, it was like if you lost a couple of games, that was unacceptable. The coach let you know, your teammates let you know, but I'm not seeing that from the guys in the room. I'm not seeing that from the staff. I'm not seeing that from the front office.
What did you see the last game, after the last game?
Silence. I mean, and silence does speak volumes. In this instance, and it's not just from the players. It's, you know, Bobby in his press conference. He's not showing what I would think would be the proper emotion as far as we just dropped 2 games in a row at home. I'm pissed off.
Would you say that Bobby has no marbles?
I don't know if I'd go that far yet.
All right. I'm just asking.
But what I would like to see from a soccer standpoint, from being a fan of the beautiful game, is the head coach, you don't have to call somebody out, but say, this is unacceptable. We played like crap. We should have won the game.
Yeah.
We have the talent to win the game, but we didn't. Make that statement. Show the players, show the front office, show the fans that it's unacceptable to take 3 points out of 12 from a 3-game homestand.
It's completely unacceptable.
Well, there are
two, 3 out of 9.
Or 3 out of 9. Yeah. Sorry.
There are two examples that kind of come to mind hearing you say this. So the one was that back in after we lost the match, it was 2011 in the U.S. Open Cup match to Richmond, and afterwards I saw something. They, you know how they broadcast the coaches post game on the
big screen
after.
Right.
So we were cleaning up some of the stuff. There was only a handful of us there, and we were walking in, and I saw Bobby do something that I'd never seen him do before, and I haven't seen him do since. He grabbed the crest on his shirt, and it was so disappointing after that match. The only two players that seemed to kind of come over and like say acknowledge the fans who did show up were Rich Balshin and Andy Iroh, and the rest of the players just kind of walked into the locker room dejected. And Bobby was mad, and he was on the screen, and he grabbed the crest on his shirt, and he said, "These guys, this is what you play for. This crest, this is what you play for." And I sat there, I stopped, I remember where I was, I stopped on the track, like right next to the field, and just watched. And I said, that's the coach I want to see on this
But you saw it one time.
I saw it one time.
Yeah.
One time.
Now, I've heard other things, too. I've heard that there was a match at the end of the 2011 season when we were trying to get into the playoffs. We were playing DC United, I believe. We went into the halftime down. From what I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but Bobby went into the locker room and was mad and let the team have it. He's like, "You guys, this is your postseason is on the line right here. You need to go out and win." And that team did not respond well to that because you had some players who were some veterans, who were some professionals. I think Sebastian Miranda, for instance, is a kind of a player who probably did not respond well to that kind of coaches
prodding. Yeah.
And so does Bobby know how to handle this particular team? Is this team a team that would respond well to that? Or is it a team that would respond better to, okay, we are professionals. You know what you need to do. Let's make a couple of adjustments and let's go out in the second half and win. What do you think?
I think at this point, I mean, Bobby's been here 16 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
16, 17 years?
Yeah, forever.
I mean,
he's been
forever.
Here the whole time.
Been here the whole time. And his record is steadily declining since he's become head coach, if you look at it that way. He's winning fewer games each season. Attendance is going down. Something has to change. It's not always 100% the manager or the coach's fault. But at this point, I think Mark McCullers and the powers that be within the crew need to make some form of a change sooner rather than later at this point.
Is that what you're getting from the team? Do you think the players look for, you know, if they have two games like this where they're not able to get a goal, two home games, do you think the players look for some sort of feedback from their coaching staff? And if they don't get it, it's sort of disappointing, even if it's being called out or...
I think they're what they're the players are telling me, and of course the players are not going to sit there and badmouth the coach. I wouldn't expect that.
Well, it's career suicide.
Exactly.
You know.
But I mean, Eddie Gavin, and I wrote this in the article that I posted on Sunday, said, and I'm paraphrasing now because I can't remember the exact quote, but it was very much along the lines of, you know, we need to finish. I mean, he's calling out not only himself but his teammates.
Yeah.
We need, you know, we need somebody to finish. Andy Greenebaum said the same thing. You know,
Chad Marshall said the same thing.
In the back third. We're good getting the ball up, but we can't finish.
Do you think this leads to lineup changes for the Toronto game?
Lineup changes, I think at this point right now, you've got a great a very good forward set of players.
Yeah.
I think the defense is sound. They're not great, but they're sound. I think what's lacking with this team right now is a midfield. You need a midfield player along the lines of Morozovic who can play the ball, move the ball forward. But think about it.
When Morozovic had one job to do,
move the ball up versus doing what Higuain's doing, playing all over the field.
If only we had a guy like a Matias Sanchez type player who can, you know, take the ball from the midfield from the defense and connect it to the offense.
And often is he starting?
Well, you know, I hear that this past Saturday he was probably the best player on the team. But I'm not sure if that source is reliable or not.
Is that
source responsible?
Maybe
somebody. I don't know.
Maybe somebody who could take the ball from the midfield up to the corner flag.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
maybe.
You know,
maybe.
We the corner flags at Columbus Crew Stadium have been lonely.
I think that's
for the past
what,
couple
yeah, that's what's
I'm
missing
just
right
saying.
Now. Whether that's a coaching decision, or whether that's the way the players are playing, I don't know.
Yeah. I do want to switch gears to one final question, and then we're going to go into the Toronto match here for just a second. But John Clem tweeted us.
Friend of the show.
Chris, go ahead and tell me what John had
so
to say.
John wants us to remember, and not just us, all of Crew Soccer Nation, our 800 to 1,500 listeners. Thanks, Larry. to remember that U.S. Open, the 100th U.S. Open Cup starts tomorrow.
Yep.
The Pittsburgh Riverhounds, the Michigan Bucks, and the Dayton Dutch Lions all have games. I have no idea who they're. I have no idea who they're playing
Michigan
against.
Michigan Bucks against the Dearborn Stars.
That's gonna be one heck
it's
of a game.
A barn burner.
Pittsburgh Riverhounds versus RWB Aderia.
It's I don't even know how to pronounce scorcher.
It. I love the Open Cup.
And Dayton Dutch Lions versus Lovell Zone River City Rovers. So those are
did you say Lovell?
Louisville.
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 My mother is from there. Louisville.
Yes, Louisville.
I will punch you in the mouth.
Okay, so Austin, Texas is what he's talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Louisville, Kentucky.
Right.
Louisville.
Did you say Dayton?
Yeah,
Dayton. Yeah, Dayton plays Dearborn Stars.
At home?
Yes.
Nice. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. They play RWB Aderia. Michigan Bucks play the Dearborn Stars.
John was trying to get people out to that game.
Yeah, The game isn't the game is in Dayton. If you're close to Dayton, there's a game in Pittsburgh. If you're close to Pittsburgh, I know that.
Yeah,
I have no idea where the Michigan Bucks play. I know it's somewhere in Michigan.
They do. I think it's
up on the UP.
Yeah,
Upers.
I think it's in Ann Arbor.
Is it Ann Arbor?
Yeah, you know what I've heard about Ann Arbor?
She's a whore.
She's a whore.
Yep.
Yeah, there's that. You're welcome. Oh, the five Ohio State fans that pay attention to this podcast.
Open Cup is great.
Yeah, I love Open Cup.
Because it gives us a chance to talk about the RWB Rovers or whatever they're called.
Something, whatever.
And also,
see the reserves in action.
Yeah. We're going to win the U.S. Open Cup this year, by the
way.
What is this wee shit, white man?
Settle down, Siggy.
Hold on there, Captain. Wee who?
Larry needs a line. He's the only one that haven't had a line about it yet.
No.
Larry's not doing that.
Larry abstains.
Yeah.
No.
Larry's smarter than the rest of us.
Yes, he is.
I just laid down a marker.
Yeah.
No, you really did.
A Chipotle burrito for sure.
You did.
It's going to happen.
Wow.
Will we average more than 3,000 in attendance?
Yeah, that's the good question, is if we win U.S. Open Cup, will anyone notice?
3,000 in attendance at a crew U.S. Open Cup would be astonishing.
You know, this is a triumph.
Yeah. I remember one year at kickoff, we had more cheerleaders on the field than we had fans in the stands.
I kind of missed that.
They're called cruisers, not cheerleaders.
Yeah,
whatever.
God.
But we are going to win.
So, yeah, about this Toronto match, because Justin's
let's
off
talk
his rocker.
About that. Let's talk about that. Justin's been drinking way
he's
too much.
He's cut off. That's it.
Yeah. I'm just saying, guys.
From me, those are lofty words.
Will somebody mark this on the calendar? Yeah. Put the date and time down?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we have it in the archives.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the archive. We're good. Toronto match. So here's my question. Toronto is one of the only teams that's crapping the bed more than the crew right now.
Well... Yeah.
Does the, and I'm not going to say streak because I know we've lost them at one point. Does the pseudo streak stay alive after this weekend, Chris?
The losing streak?
We don't have a losing.
Yeah,
streak
we don't have.
Them,
but it's
no.
It's a we're what 12-1 against them, something like that.
No, it's like 5-7.
Well, 5-7. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We played 12 times. They
you're
won
only as good as your last game.
No, and that's what I'm going to say is who knows? The form that the current crew has and the form that the current Toronto team has, the terrible effing club have, I think that Toronto is on an uptick, the crew is on a downtick, and it's a recipe for disaster for somebody.
I thought we were looking at a tie.
That's an excellent point because that's what happened last week with Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
You have one team going one direction, Colorado coming the other direction, and Colorado...
Right.
Somehow pulled it out.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can call those two Toronto or Colorado goals whatever you want to. They were the more productive team on
goals.
The day. They were goals. And
they
that's
were
why
goals.
I said productive. They may not have
goals.
Been.
That's important.
Soccer.
Yeah,
they may
goals.
Not
yeah.
have been the better team, but they were the more productive team. And I think that's exactly what could happen with Toronto. Toronto might just pull out a 1-0 stunner.
Well, the last time the crew were on the road, was it Toronto? I mean, mm-hmm. Chicago. Sorry.
Right.
That was
This team does not. This team does not play well on the road.
Comes to mind on that one.
This team does not play well on the road against teams that are not in last place.
Well, here's the thing:
they've not been playing well at home lately.
But here's the thing:
Chris was talking about how many points we should have gotten from these last three games.
Right, from the homestand.
And going into Toronto with two games like that, dangerous.
Well, it's one of two things. It's either the boys realize they need to prove something, or. Nobody cares
yeah,
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the Toronto game, or excuse me, the Chicago game was literally nobody cares.
Jim and I were talking about this while you guys were waxing poetic about Duncan. And it really comes.
Buddy.
It really does come down to the attitude of the players.
Yeah.
If they're just clocking in to get a paycheck, and I'm not saying that, you know, they don't want to win or whatever. Everyone wants to perform well at their job, but if their hearts aren't in it, this season is going to get really long. And I think that starts with this week. This week
really
needs
does.
To be a statement.
It really does, because the last 2 weeks have been nothing but abysmal failure.
Right.
Abysmal failure. And yes, we can say over and over again, yeah, the team's played well.
Yeah.
And we could say, yeah, they've created chances or whatever. But the problem is, at the end of the day, chances created
does not equal goal scored.
It doesn't matter for crap. It doesn't.
No matter what Bobby does mm-hmm. as the coach,
yeah.
it all comes down to a Gene Hackman quote from The Replacements.
Uh-oh.
Got to play with heart.
Yeah.
Every yes. time. You step on the pitch,
yeah,
you
guys,
have to play with heart.
Killing me over here.
Justin, what do you think?
Lay it on us, brother.
What do you think, Justin?
I like good soccer.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be said about good soccer. And I saw some – I saw a fight in that team on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I did. I saw – there was a moment where Federico Higuain was giving it to Tyson Wall on the field. Just yeah. like he was just gesturing and just yelling, and you could see him just like, you've got to be better. You have to be better.
But Wall wasn't
this
getting
is,
the message.
But can he? This is
That's
the whole
the question.
Argument.
Is, even
Rick,
if Tyson Wall got the
it.
Question,
this
can
is,
he be better?
This is it. You went out and you got a left back in Tyson Wall.
Yeah.
That's the guy you got as your left back? Tyson Wall?
Who's going to make
I mean,
break a team?
Is Tyson,
a left back is going to do that.
Is Tyson Wall your answer to play left back of a championship team?
No.
He is not.
He's not.
And you have a leader on this team, Federico Higuain, who knows how to go out and play good soccer. And he is dying to play with players who are quality. He is dying for this. So whose job is it to make the players who are on the field better? Whose job is it? Is it the coach? The coach can do so much with the raw materials that are on the field. He can put players. He tried. He put Augustin Viana in a position where I think he's much better left back. Augustin Viana gets hurt. He puts Tyson Wall back in there because that's all he has. So. What's,
so do you want to lay this?
He does
what
have
do you, of McCullers?
He does have
what
Bernardo
I'm saying
Dorn.
Is what I'm saying is over and over again. Either you go out and you put players who can play on the level of Federico Higuain and go out and score goals, or you just you use what you got. And I think that's what Bobby's doing. He's using what he's got. He's got the best. He's taken the best players he has at the positions that he needs to fill, and he's going out and trying to win.
Against
a team like Toronto, do the 11 players that we have, should they be able to beat the 11 players that Toronto's going to field? Yes, they should. But again, it comes down to that final piece, that final pass, that final shot. Do you have the quality players who can go out and beat their keeper? In this case, maybe. We don't know.
Do you think that, I guess it comes down to, do you think that the team that we're putting on the field, do you think that they have the marbles?
I think they do.
No, I
think
they
do. To steal a quote from Major League
yeah.
Two. To steal a quote.
Yeah, yes.
No,
they
I
do.
Absolutely
they,
think
they do.
Do they have the marbles?
Yes,
they
want
to go out and win. They want to go
yeah.
out and win. But at some point, you have to say, are these the players who are good enough to do that?
So
are they the players who are going to go out and live up to the 2008 standard that Mark McCullers and these people who are selling the team,
about the
not Robert Orzea, but they were sold as this is going to be the return of the massive season.
No,
that's
what I'm
saying. When
yeah.
we came into the season,
yeah.
that's what they were selling. That's what they were trying
well,
to sell the fan base.
Selling.
And they want
and
you
they,
to overlook the fact that Tyson Wall's a left back. And a left
well,
back
well,
that's very good at his position.
He's not very
starting
good
left
at his
back.
Position.
No, a starting left back in this league that is very, very good at his position
he's
is,
not.
Few and,
yeah.
is few and far between.
But
there's a few of them in this whole league. Tyson Wall doesn't even come close.
So, Justin, let me ask you this. You said that Robert is using the pieces that he has to the best of his ability. Do you think that he's using them correctly? Because I personally think that Robert is incorrectly.
Over the last 3 weeks, he's done much, much better. Over the last 3 weeks, he's done much better.
So we have a Conrad disciple.
Against?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with Conrad. No.
You know what? I do think Conrad starts this week.
But this is the...
Oh, my God, my head will explode.
No, I don't think it's Conrad. Because Conrad, that means Conrad starts over Sanchez.
I don't think he will.
Or Chani. And Chani's the golden boy.
I bet he starts over Chani. Really? I bet Sanchez stays, and he starts over Chani.
Or Chani plays at left back over Tyson Wall. And Conrad stays.
All right, two things I want to ask real quick here as we round this out. First of all, lineup changes versus last week. Second of all, score predictions. So, Chris, where do you go with you first?
I'm going to have some faith in Bobby that he doesn't change the lineup at all, because I think the lineup from last week worked. Worked good, right?
Yes.
He did something well, and the team worked good. As far as score predictions, at Toronto on a Saturday against the Columbus Crew.
After dropping two at home.
2-1 Toronto.
Wow. That's ballsy, sir.
That's marbles.
That's ballsy.
You asked
some
about
marbles.
Right?
That's some marbles. Justin?
It's going to take one goal. We get one goal, and we're going to go on a streak. I think we get one goal and we win 2-0.
All right, Larry.
I agree with Justin on that. If they're able to get a goal in the first 30 minutes, they can roll on this Toronto team.
But do you change the lineup?
I do not change the lineup. I keep it the same.
All right, Rick.
If we're gonna go with the same lineup, which I really don't see how you can make the team better by subbing.
Yeah.
I mean, you go with what you had last week. Passing was decent. The finishing sucks. And Toronto's going to win 2-1.
Fair enough. For me...
Wait.
Oh, good.
I want to hear Sam's.
Sam, I'm sorry. No, Sam, go ahead. Go ahead, Sam.
I think if Viana's actually available this game, I would be interested in seeing him start at left back.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's fair.
And otherwise, I mean... I don't think Chani's really has played up to his potential regardless. I think he's the most awkward African player I've ever seen in my life.
And Sam wants to go on Africa.
Yeah, he's from Africa, everybody.
He's allowed to say that.
Sammy is Egyptian.
Yes. That would probably Viana would be my only change.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I do think if somebody's going to start in that offensive mid spot, it might be Conrad. And I will laugh when I see the starting lineup if he's in there.
Oh, dear God.
But I
threw up a little one, bit.
One at best.
All right. My prediction, cue my music. So.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, seriously. My prediction is going to be 9-0 Crew. No. no. Here's the
everybody
thing.
Gets cool.
If we move Oduro to another striking position.
Good idea, Matt.
If we move Oduro... No, I've been harping on this forever.
Yeah, how long have we been saying this?
I know, but I'm saying if we do this...
Okay.
2-0 Crew. If we don't, it'll be 1-0 Toronto.
He's been playing forward more lately.
I know he's been pushing forward, but I'm saying put him there. So for everybody who's been a part of this ramshackle whatever...
Shenanigans.
Couple things. First of all, for Rick, for Larry, for Justin, for Sam, for Chris, for Operation June 1st Stella. My name is Matt. Duncan, you can never go home again, but I guess you can shop there.